The epistle for this, the very last Sunday after Pentecost, comes from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Brethren, we have been praying for you unceasingly, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May you walk worthily of God and please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be completely strengthened through His glorious power unto perfect patience and long-suffering, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through His blood, the remission of our sins. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to His disciples, "When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything from his house, and let him who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. But woe to those who are with child or who have infants at the breast in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor will be. And unless those days had been shortened, no living creature would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone say to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and will show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' do not go forth. 'Behold, he is in the inner chambers,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes forth from the east and shines even to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then will all tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. And he will send forth his angels with a trumpet and a great sound, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now from the fig tree learn this parable. When its branch is now tender and the leaves break forth, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. He that shall persevere unto the end shall be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the last 6 months, we have been in this time after Pentecost, and we wear the color green. This time, during these 6 months, we celebrated various feasts and commemorating different stories in the life of our Lord. But today is the last Sunday before we begin this liturgical year again next week with Advent. And so it is fitting that the Church focuses today on the end of time, the end of the world, and the second coming of Christ, which was focused upon much by the early church, the parousia, the second coming of our Lord. Every Sunday we profess in the Creed, Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and we say at the very end of the Creed, I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Have you given much thought about this? Have you thought about our Lord's coming? Do you look forward to it? Do you think about it, that Christ again is coming to this earth. In the Gospel today, Matthew 24, it takes place on the Tuesday before the Passion. So just 2 days after Palm Sunday, Matthew 24. And Palm Sunday, the whole crowd in Jerusalem welcomes our Lord as the triumphant King. But just 2 days later, they're plotting His death. And as our Lord and the disciples are walking out of the Lion's Gate, walking east out of the city through the Kidron Valley, the disciples point to this magnificent temple. And they say, "Look how beautiful. Look, Lord, how beautiful this is." And He says very sadly, because they've rejected Him, He said, "There shall not be left here a stone upon a stone that shall not be destroyed." I was privileged to just 2 weeks ago be in Jerusalem. I was there for a pilgrimage and a retreat. And it's true. There's not a stone left upon another stone. And in this gospel, our Lord prophesies what happens in 70 AD when the Roman soldier, the commander, who was later emperor, Titus, completely and utterly destroyed Jerusalem. And the temple, everything fires. Horrific what happened. And everything our Lord said in this gospel came true. Everything. And Josephus, the historian, talks about it, writes about it. It's very interesting to read. Very horrific what happened because they rejected our Lord. Now, as is typical in Holy Scriptures, there is a twofold fulfillment. There is a primary, first literal fulfillment of what our Lord is talking about in the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But there is a further fulfillment that will happen at the end of time. We have multiple layers. We see in the Old Testament prophecies, you know, like look in 2 Samuel 7, when our Lord spoke to David and said, "No, you want to build me a house, but I will build you a house. Your son will establish a kingdom which shall not end." His son built him a house. Solomon built this beautiful temple that was destroyed later. But who is the son of David who builds the house, the kingdom which shall never end? That is Christ from the line of David. So there's this multiple layers. And so we focus on the second coming of Christ. His second coming will be different than His first coming. His first coming at Christmas, which we have just in a month, is as a little baby in a humble stable in a cave in Bethlehem. His second coming will be as triumphant King, as judge, coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty, as our Lord says. "The Son of Man shall send His angels with a trumpet and a loud voice. They shall gather together His elect from the four winds." This will be a day of reckoning. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? And it will be a horrible day for some people. A day of reckoning and answering to God for all of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our actions. St. Paul tells us in his second letter to the Corinthians, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the proper things of the body, according as he hath done, whether it be good or evil." Christ will come to judge all mankind. We know that. This day will be terrible for the wicked. But for the good, for those of us who strive to live the life of grace as Christ has showed us, this will be a wonderful day. What should our response be to this gospel? Should we be fearful and anxious, put together a doomsday kit, build a bunker in the ground to escape it, to try to survive this? No. No. We live in a world which is obsessed with the end of the world. The end in a fearful way. Apocalyptic themes throughout movies and shows. And this will be a shocking event for those who have lived their life as if there were no God. They will be in for a big surprise. But by our baptism and the gift of faith, we know how to live. We know not to live in fear and anxiety. We fear only one thing, and that is sin, offending God. We do not fear death. This life on earth will not last forever, nor should we want it to. We are wayfarers. We should be looking forward to the coming of Christ, to our meeting with Christ. And what we know is one day we will all meet Christ. Whether we make it to the end of the world, these horrible things spoken about, we do know one thing. When our life ends, whether it be whenever God wills it, whether it be short or long life, we meet God face to face, and we will have to account for things. And hopefully we hear those great words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the kingdom." We should look forward to the coming of our Lord, living in the words of St. Paul, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God. Our Lord tells us, vigilate, watch, be looking forward to the coming of your Lord, like the five wise virgins. Right after this, Matthew 24, it's interesting. Read Matthew 22 and on. You'll see it in context. This is just one huge thing that's going on. The Gospels, it's very long today, and so they cut it short. But just right after this, our Lord gives advice. How should you live? He said, be watchful like the five wise virgins, awaiting the arrival of their master, always making sure that we have oil for our lamps. Always, what is the oil for our lamps? Sanctifying grace. And if we have the misfortune of running out of oil, of blowing that light of Christ out through serious sin, we run to the confessional and we wait, preparing to meet our Lord. St. Paul, in today's epistle, begs us that we may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Speaking of how we should be watchful and waiting for our Lord, Pope Benedict XVI wrote that vigilance means not neglecting the present moment, nor speculating on the future, nor forgetting the task at hand. Actually, he says, true vigilance means doing right here and now, as is incumbent upon us in the sight of God. To be vigilant is to know that one is under God's watchful eye and to act accordingly. Remain true to your vocation. That is God's will for you. People wonder, oh, what should we do? What should we do? No, God has called you, especially those who are married or who have a specific vocation. That is your means of sanctification. Fathers, lead your family as the head of the household, sanctifying your life through your hard work and sacrifices for your family, being a man of virtue and deep faith. Mothers, daily accept the many crosses of your daily life, your beautiful vocation as a mother. Children, obey your parents, and this is your holiness. That's God's will for you. Let us each pray for a true contrition for our sins, a greater and ever-increasing love for God, and the grace of a happy death. And let us make our own the prayer of today's secret. O Lord, turn to thyself the hearts of us all, so that freed from all worldly desires, we may be caught up by heavenly desires. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.